as it says in the Holy Quran, إِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدَةً. You're one nation.
Yes, there are issues of Shia and Sunni, and there are some jurisprudential differences, theological differences, historical differences, and so forth. But if we realize that how much we are paying for our disunity, as Quran says, كُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَا حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ, the Muslim community that is disunited and torn apart is on the brink of the pit of the hellfire, meaning that is about to be destroyed. If we realize that, then we look at a bigger picture.
مُحَمَّدٌ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّاءُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاءُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi is the apostle of Allah, and those who are with him are hard against the faithless and merciful amongst themselves. Both of these qualities have to be there. It can't be the case that we take one without the other. Enmity of Islam and its stubborn enmity, that's something that cannot be tolerated. And we have to stand firm against that.
But what happens in Kuwait, what happens in Saudi Arabia, my personal opinion is that it's a little bit more than just Islamophobia. This is sectarian hate. This is Shia Sunni hate. In Saudi Arabia, he's saying it straight up that the war today in the Middle East is a sectarian war between Shia and Sunni. That's what they say.
Sometimes it becomes extremely difficult to figure out what the plot of the enemy is. People get really confused. What's going on here? What's the right path? It becomes so difficult to tell what the enemy's trying to do that when you explain what the enemy's trying to do, people are like, oh, come on, this is a conspiracy theory. After these documents are declassified, go and read them. How many layers, hidden layers? It's a plot.
I want to just share a story of a very clever way that the enemies of Islam wish to create divisions. Once there was a man who was used to, every morning in the city of Isfahan, he used to recite Masa'ib of the Ahlul Bayt in Islam. Now, he used to recite different masab at different times, mostly related to the incidents that took place at Karbala. But there was a certain period of time where he began to only recite the masab of Sayyidah Fatima al-Zahra every single day. You all know that on one hand, we recognize that this injustice that took place was a great injustice and is something that does need to be talked about and need to be understood. But it's also something that can be the source of division. After a while, one of the ulama went to him and he said that, why is it that you're not doing it every day? So he tells him the story. He said that I'm being paid to do that. Every day I receive 2 riyals. And because of that, I go ahead and do this. After all, there must be some donor who has this in mind. And so I go ahead and recite this masail.
It's a plot.
It turns out that this man receives it from somebody, a merchant in the bazaar. That merchant in the bazaar receives money from some man in the government. That man in the government receives money from whom? From one of the officials in the British embassy. This was in Iran at the time of one of the Shahs.
We have to be careful that we don't feed into this. The person who I listen to, who I go and attend the lectures of sometimes, who I like on Facebook, who I befriend, whatever, anything that will contribute to those people who provoke the tension more and more, fan the flames, their rhetoric, this is something we have to at least be careful about.
And this is not hidden from you that unfortunately, even amongst the Shia, we have groups that have chosen to promote the message of the Ahlul Bayt in a manner that serves no purpose. For example, the setting up of satellite channels where 24/7 all that happens is cursing, and cursing the individuals that our Sunni brothers and sisters look up to with a lot of respect. They were born into that faith and they were raised like that. And then, you know, celebrating and having a cake to celebrate the demise of Aisha, the wife of the Prophet, and clapping and dancing. And you have to question what is the intention behind that.
Because unfortunately we are witnessing a rise from a small group of people, but a vocal group of people, and we consider it our religious responsibility to create harmonious societies, to create societies of tolerance, societies where we embrace diversity, societies of inclusivity.
They don't go up the front lines and fight Islam directly. They intentionally want to prevent them from supporting the Palestinian cause, fragment the believers. You guys are Lebanese, you're Shia. These guys are Palestinian, they're Sunni. You don't support one another.
Me and them, what are they doing? Their problems, their issues, we have to correct them. If there's issues in Lebanon, Muslim suffering, Palestine, wherever, we see ourselves as being one ummah.
Moreover, if we come together as Muslims all around the world and unite, we'll be able to resolve many of the issues that are affecting Muslim countries and Muslims around the world. وَاعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. That everyone should hold fast to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and not separate.
We understand and we respect each other's opinions, but at the same time we learn how to work together, because we are, you know, sailing and we are on a ship that if there is a hole in it, everybody is going to drown.